Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
I try, as best I can anyway, in each of these podcasts to offer an idea that I hope might be useful in your creative life. That's the only reason for me to record them and, of course, for you to listen to them. So a lot of times there's a principle that I'm trying to share with you and then surrounding it with a bunch of examples. And that's what I'm going to do here by trying to make the case that two characteristics of human nature, creativity and curiosity, are essentially variants of the same way of life. We can have a creative life, we can have a curious life. There's not a lot of difference between the two of them. As a matter of fact, they sort of go hand in hand. And here's the first example. I have no doubt that I use probably less than 10% of what my software programs are capable of doing. Photoshop might be the very best example, because it's an unbelievably powerful software. But I don't use 90% of what Photoshop can do, because I just don't need it for the kind of artwork that I want to create, the kind of images that I tend to want to put in my projects and the processing that I want to do. I'm a little too simplistic, I think, or perhaps I'm a little old school because I was a film photographer first, that I just tend not to think about all the complexities that Photoshop would allow me to do if I chose to do it. That's not the way my brain works. So I don't find myself chasing all of those extraordinary techniques of Photoshop. Microsoft Word, I could say the same thing. It does all kinds of stuff. And of course, all of these softwares have gotten more and more powerful over the years as the software engineers improve them and improve them and improve them. Lightroom is one of my main pieces of software now, and it has entire modules like the web module and the map module and the print module that I never use. I basically use the library and the develop module, and that's it. But I know there are features in all these softwares that I would find incredibly useful if I just knew about them. The problem is, since I don't know about them, I don't even know that I should look for them. Instead, I have to rely on luck and a certain cultivated attitude of curiosity. Gee, I wonder what that button does. I'll never forget years ago. I was talking about this with my sister-in-law because she was trying to do something in Word, and I said, well, just click on this button here and it'll work. And she said, oh, I'm so hesitant to click on a button. I said, why? She said, because I never know what it'll do, and I'm afraid it'll mess me up, and then I'll lose everything. I could relate. I know exactly what she's talking about. My favorite software command is Control-Z, the undo command. Because there's so many times when I do something with software that I wish I hadn't done. And thankfully, you can just step back and try something else. That's the thing about curiosity. When we let curiosity overcome caution, we might find ourselves doing something we wish we hadn't. We might find ourselves in trouble, as they say. But with software, the consequences aren't that great. As a matter of fact, we can develop strategies with software, like making backup copies of our original camera capture files. When you're working on something in Photoshop, you can make a version 1, version 2, version 3 save, so you can always go backwards. There are histories that are often kept so that undo takes us back several steps if we need to. But all of that only works if we're willing to let curiosity overcome hesitancy. And I think for a creative life, for us creative photographers, a certain cultivated attitude of curiosity is perhaps one of the best things we can develop in ourselves. Certainly as important, if not more important, than developing some specific software technique, which might be an answer for one thing, but a cultivated curiosity can be a strategy that leads to all kinds of interesting areas that we might never go to. Here's a few more examples. I love driving down unknown dirt roads. I'd much rather drive down an unknown dirt road than go to some famous place like Yosemite or Yellowstone or Arches or whatever. I know what I'll find in those places because everybody else has been there. They're famous. I've seen them in the guidebooks and etc. Lots of other photographers have photographed them. But when I go down some unknown dirt road, I'm likely to find something that no one else has seen or photographed. If nothing else, I haven't seen it and photographed it. So for me, it's new. That's what I want to spend my time photographing, not making photographs that look like Ansel Adams or anybody else. That doesn't mean that I don't go to Yosemite or to Yellowstone or whatever, but when I go to those places, I try to let go of my preconceived images that are in my mind because I've seen them from other photographers before I physically go to those locations. But that takes effort. Driving down an unknown dirt road only takes the effort of being alert and aware and sensitive and finding our own subjects and our own pictures. The Japanese have a favorite phrase that I've adopted over the years. They call it following your nose. You don't really know where you're going. You're just following your nose and allowing yourself to be curious and to discover and to explore and to have fun. Here's another example. Years ago, my friend Joe Lipke and I were photographing on the Olympic Peninsula, and we were basing our activities out of the little town of Port Townsend. Beautiful little town, but we had photographed there for several days, done Fort Worden, etc., and were ready to move on. But Joe happened to mention to me that he had changed his mind about a book he had seen, an Edward Weston book. We had stopped in the bookstore there, and he thought about it and thought about it and ended up passing. He didn't buy it. And after a couple of days of stewing on this, he decided, no, he did want to buy it. So could we go there and he could run in and get that book before we left town? So we did so. Drove into town, found a parking space, fortunately, directly across the street from the bookstore. And while Joe ran in to make his purchase, I sat there in the truck, just waiting patiently, but looking at the buildings and the people and the traffic and what was going on. And in particular, the building right across the street from where I was parked looked very interesting, very Victorian, very ornate, a lovely building. And when Joe came back with his Edward Weston book, I said, look at that building, Joe, that's really interesting. And I'll bet it would be fun to photograph because we could look up into the windows of the second story and the third story and see that they were unoccupied. Thought might be interesting to photograph in there. So we went across the street and asked the person on the street level, or they had a retail store there, who owned the building, made the connection. The woman was more than happy to let us in to photograph after we explained who we were and what we wanted to do and etc. She explained that she needed some photographs of this historic building for a project that she was working on. We ended up spending 2 days there photographing this wonderful Victorian building, had free rein to go anywhere we wanted to in the building. It was absolutely fascinating. We just followed our nose. We had no intentions of photographing architecture or Victorian buildings, but it ended up being a really fantastic place to photograph because we allowed our curiosity to guide our creativity. We did the same thing with another little place called the Ansorge Hotel in the little tiny town of Curlew, Washington. This was on another trip years later. The hotel was actually closed for the season, but we'd only missed it by a couple of days. There was a card on the door with a phone number. We called it. Explained who we were and what we wanted to do, and is there any chance we could get into the hotel? She said, sure. She came right down, opened the door, gave us the keys, let us photograph there all day. It was fantastic. Curiosity guided creativity. Another story that comes to mind is that one of my early workshop instructors was Stuart Harvey, and he was a very curious individual and decided on the spur of the moment to purchase a Widelux camera, which was a film camera that did native panoramas with a swinging lens. He just thought, I wonder what kind of pictures I could make with this. And he made some of the best pictures of his life. He allowed curiosity to guide his creativity. My friend David Best has a great way of employing curiosity. He will often go into a retail store that has nothing to do with photography and nothing to do with any interests that he has in his life. But he'll go just to look at what they have for sale, constantly asking himself the question, what could I do with this? And amazingly, he often finds things that are useful in his photography that he never knew about, didn't have any idea that those products existed, but he found them to be incredibly useful in his creative process. Taking a clue from his experience, I remember once Maureen wanted to go to Joanne Fabrics. This is a place where you buy fabrics and sewing stuff and accessories and whatnot. And rather than just wait in the car, I decided to employ David's what could I do with this strategy. I went into the store and just started walking up and down the aisles. And the first thing I found was a rotary cutter that had a big, 3-4-inch blade on it. You use it for cutting cloths for sewing quilts and things. And you just roll it and it trims. And it turned out to be a fantastic tool for trimming prints and cutting corners off of things and etc. Way more convenient even than scissors. Didn't even know such a thing existed. Comes with replaceable blades. It's made by the Olfa company. They make those kinds of razor blade knives where you can snap off the end of the blade and get a new sharp edge. Well, they make this rotary cutter thing too. It's one of my favorite tools. In processing, curiosity can guide our creativity by varying David's question just a little bit and saying, what would happen if I did this and processed my image in a way that I've never done before, or using a technique I've never heard of before, or just playing? I call it PBPA, photography by pooping around. You never know what you'll discover. And sometimes you'll discover things that are not only really interesting, but lead to even deeper questions. Curiosity fuels creativity. So I guess what I'm proposing is that if you're a creative individual, and you probably are, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, that maybe it's important to cultivate curiosity, to practice curiosity, to refine curiosity, to employ curiosity habitually, daily, as a part of your everyday life. Because curiosity and creativity are linked so closely together, that I think, in particular, creativity can be diminished if you eliminate curiosity from your life. If you only click the buttons in your software that you know exactly what they'll do, you'll be missing all kinds of opportunities. And sometimes, and this is what brings this all to mind because I just had this experience, it's not a bad idea to set aside an hour or half an hour and just say, I'm going exploring. I'm allowing curiosity to take control. And in this case, which happened day before yesterday, I was looking at some advanced processing techniques in Adobe Audition, which is the audio software I use to record these podcasts. And I found a couple of tools that I didn't know existed, things that I later found explained in YouTube videos that are going to make the editing process of recording my podcasts so much easier, so much better. Tools that have existed in Audition for years, but I never knew they existed, and I never took the time to look for them because I didn't exercise a cultivated curiosity. And I'm kind of paying the price for not having explored these ideas years ago. So a cultivated curiosity is a strategy in the creative life that I think can't possibly do anything but support your creative efforts. So why not?
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.